Okay, so we're ready for our unique
Hanukkah Or.
There you go. The only place in the world where you'll hear that present. And now we want to give a mazel tov to Yaakov Gelapter for his bris. He wanted to invite all of the chaverim here since he listens in to the Daf Yomi. Of course, all of you have met him, but that's okay. He's in Moshav Carmel. So he invited everyone to the, well, didn't invite, but informed of the bris today in the Tel Aviv Renaissance.
Next door neighbor.
That's right. It's true.
Compared to the other guy.
That is true. Okay, so today, let's see. We were holding today on Daf Pei Gimel. And let's just review where we had gotten to yesterday. We had in the Mishnah, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon as to what the shear of an Eruv consisting of two Seudot. So based on the analysis that we finally came out with, because it seemed in the beginning that there was a tremendous difference between the two Shitot, if we took Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka at his word, Kikar Bepundian, Mi'ar Besoin Besela, then it sounded like he was talking about offering us four Seudot in a Kav. And according to the way Reb Shimma was talking about, which we have only one-third and a third of a Kav, it turned out there would be nine of these Seudot in a Kav. But it turned out that Reb Yochanan Ben Broka was talking about the price that you would pay at the Chenveni when the Chenveni was buying at the Arbasayim Besela. Obviously, he wasn't going to be selling it to you for the price he was buying it. And it turned out, according to Rav Chisda, that if you've got the same relationship of Chetzia, in the case where you're not playing for Tzivi, in other words, it turns out that he would have to charge basically double his price in order to cover the fuel surcharge plus his profit, but then you would be talking about 8 per kav, whereas according to Rav Shimon, you'd be talking about 9 per kav. That's how it worked out. So it wasn't that big of a difference. We said, Krovim divrei elu liot ke'elu. Now let's just review the closing pieces that we had in the Mishnah, the last line on Amud Beis. Chetzia lebayit hamenuga, v'chatzi chetzia livsolat hagviya. So in other words, we started off with a shear of Eruv. That shear of Eruv was two Seudot. Then we know that in a Bayat HaMenuga, there's a halacha, strange halacha, that if you're in that, it says ha'ochel ba'bayit, which we understand can't possibly mean to actually physically eat in the Bayit, because the eating in the Bayit would be a contradiction to v'habayil ha'bayit, which means you're tamei as soon as you're ba'al ha'bayit. So therefore, ochel ba'bayit, we understand to mean someone who is very sure of what an achila would be. How do we define that achila? The way we always do. We have our favorite achilat pras. So b'chdei achilat pras would be considered, so a pras is a chatzi se'uda. Okay, so therefore, chatzi, one half of that se'uda, now that would be depending on who you held up, one half of that se'uda for a bayit ha'menuga, one half of that half, which would be the chatzi pras, which was a quarter of a se'uda, which was the eighth of an eruv, which was two se'udas, would be lifsol et hagviya. And that was a old gezerah, very old gezerah, which asered achilas truma for somebody who had eaten a chatzi pras, which the pras itself means chetzi, so it was a chetzi v'chetzi, of a se'uda, and he's not of something tamei, and he would not be allowed to eat truma. Then, today, we're adding now, right at the top of Pei Gimel, Tana, and the Braita continues the list of the Mishnah, and it says now, there's also half of that, which would be half of a half of a half. So we have the chatzi pras livsola tagvia. So that's chetzi chetzi. We would have the chetzi of a chetzi of a chetzi, which is also another chetzi of an eruv, because the eruv is two full sudas. So a chatzi chetzi chetzia l'tamei tumat ochlim. That would be the shear of tumas ochlim. Again, depending on who you would be holding, like either Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka or Rabbi Shimon, l'shitato. And according to this, the shear in which Ochlan either would give to him or Mekabel to him, that we know is old Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, which we won't go into again, the shear for Tumas Ochlan would be a half of the pras, a half of the chatzi pras, and a half, now the half of the Eruv, in other words, to be Metami Tumas Ochlan. So let's, if you'll take out your pen and papers here, which would be useful. I'm sure all of you came well equipped. Well, you should have. Yeah, I should have told you. Take out some paper of Barnea and just hand out some sheets so everybody could do these rather rudimentary calculations on their own. Of course, I didn't bring my own pen and pencil. But all right, so let's figure this out now. Well, you'll have to do it for me. Oh. David, have you got a pen?
No.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Yeah. We should really keep something.
The dog.
Or else we should, yeah. Or else we should have that whiteboard that Barnea keeps promising.
Black.
Okay.
Yeah, a pencil.
The whiteboard. Pens. We need pens. Pens. Hand them out. There you go. No, I'm okay. Great. Anybody want a pen? It's useful to have it. Let's start with the given and assume, although we're going to find out that in actual measurements, Rebbe found that the measurements were somewhat different than we thought. But remember that a saw is 6 kav, okay? And a saw... The assumption over here is, we're going to question that assumption later on, but the assumption is that based on the standard saw, which was in extent at the time of the Midbar, it was a given that a saw was 144 beitzim, which means that you have 24 beitzim, one-sixth of that, because there's 6 kav in a saw, there's 24 beitzim in every kav. Now, obviously, depending on whether you hold of Rabbi Yochanan, or whether you hold of Rabbi Shimon, we're going to come out to a different shear according to this of what the chatzi, chetzi, chetzia would be. Mm-hmm. It turns out that the Gemara, all the way through until midway down, is going to be referring to chatzi, chetzi, chetzia according to Rabbi Shimon. Because after all, as we all know, the standard that we accept for Kabbalah's Tumas Ochlin is, or being Metami Tumas Ochlin, is a shear of one beitza. How do we get to one base? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, the kicker, the standard kicker, he said, was one-third of a kav. Correct? Now, according to that, if it's one-third of a kav, that means that the kicker is 24 divided by 3 in terms of beitzim, which is 8 beitzim. The kidei achilas pras being a chatzi kicker, would be as long as it takes to eat 4 beitzim, according to this. Half of that for psug via, chetzi chetzia, would be 2 beitzim. Chetzi chetzi chetzia would be 1 beitza, which is the way in which we always, anyway, had our shear. So it works out very well. It's good to see it in these terms. And everything is fine. According to Rabbi Yochanan, things get a little bit more complicated, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, he had 4 kikarot. That's 4 su'udot of the kikar in each, the way we came out, because we said it was 8. Turned out to be 8, meaning in the kav, eight of his separate parts, which is 4 kikros in each kav. And that gives us, now we have to divide by 4, so then we now have 6 by 24, the beitzim in the kav, which gives us 6 beitzim instead of starting off as we did with Rabbi Shimon, with 8 beitzim. This turned out to be the difference between them. The 8 and the 9. So it comes out that we now have the Bayit HaMenugah would be half is 3 beitzim, correct?
Half
of the kikar.
Okay, kikar.
So that's 3 beitzim, and kikar would be 6 beitzim, according to him. The psul gvia would be 1.5, half of the 3. And this would be half of 1.5, would be 3/4 of the beitzah, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So we have a smaller amount for the Tumat Ochlin. We are familiar with the standard shear of Tumat Ochlin according to Rabbi Shimon, which is the 1 beitzah. Now, why is it that our Tana didn't want to say that? I mean, the Tana and the Mishnah went ahead and talked about the two Sudas, the standard Kikar, the Chatzi of one of the Kikar, Chatzi Chatzi, for the Psugvia. So it went down to talking about the size of a Kikar, to talking about the Pekilas Pras, to talking about the Shear of Psugvia, with the Chatzi Pras. For some reason, he stopped there. He didn't want to go down. He could have simply said the Chatzia for Tumat Ochlim, and that way we would have understood the relationship of Tumat Ochlim as well in terms of the Beit Sin that we've had over here. Why did our Tana not continue the list? Tana Didan, my Tana lo Tani Tumat Ochlim. Well, that's because Mishum Delo Shavu Shiurayu Lahadadi. It's simply because the Shir of Tumat Ochlim really doesn't precisely equal half of the Shear of Psul Gviya. There's a little bit of a difference because the Shear of Tumat Ochlim is given directly in terms of Beit Sin, whereas the others were given specifically in terms of the relationship to the Kav. As we'll see, there's a little bit of iffiness in the relationship of the Beit Sah to the Kav, and it's not as simple as it seemed. And therefore, to give a Shear of Tumat Ochlim, which is set in terms of Beitzim, so that's a Beitzah, according to Rabbi Shimon, and say, and that equals exactly half of a half of the half of the Kikar, is not really true. And here's why it's not really true. To Tanya, Kama Shiur Chatzi Pras, the actual Shiur of the Chatzi Pras that we were talking about for the Psul Gviya, actually is Shtei Beitzim Chaser Kim'at, Devi Rebbe Yehuda. It's a little bit less than the two Beitzim, says Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Yossi says, on the contrary, it's Shtei Beitzim Sochakot. It's actually happy eggs, and that means that they take up a little bit more space because they're always laughing. You know? They move around a little bit. So in other words, the Shaila is what is the standard of the egg that we're going to measure with?
Number 2 and number 3?
Yeah, exactly. Now, what happened is that Rebbe went ahead, and he was Misha'er, meaning that he took his saw, and he found that in this saw, which is by definition 6 kav, he found that there were more than 24 beitzim in a kav, and he actually found, as we'll see, a difference of 1/20.
Maybe that's why he wouldn't have made Shari.
That's interesting. So he actually, because of that, discovered that there was a discrepancy. And as we'll see, the Beit Sin changed in size through the years, and therefore we recalibrated at different points the relationships of the Shiurim to the Beitza. So, in any event, that creates a problem because by Tumat Ochlim we know that the Shiur was given directly in Beitzim, and if the relationship of the Kav to the Beitza isn't precise, then it's not correct to say that Chatzi Chatzi Chatzia would be the Shiur of Tumat Ochlim because that won't come out to be precisely a Beitza. What it does say, Lagabi Tumat Ochlim, is that Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Dosa Amru, Ki Beitza She'amrua Kamoa Ukeklipata, that the Shear of Tumat Ochlim is a Beitza, including its shell, V'chachamim Omrim Kamoa Belo Klipata. And that they said, no, it's actually the Beitza without the Klipa. Now, obviously, all of the Shearim would be too small. Because if Lamaisa, we have more eggs than we thought, we're going to have to make up for that difference with the extra eggs. So to say that it's an egg, I mean, certainly an egg without the klipa, but even an egg with the klipa, if it turns out that there's a little bit more, then we're in trouble. So because of that, we didn't want to be koveya chatzi chatzi chatzia, which is determined by eggs, really, and pretend that that's fixed in the kav. Because it isn't really exact. What's more, Amar Avram Bar Papa and Rav Chista, the whole analysis that relates Bichlal an egg, like if we want to talk a bigger egg, a smaller egg, the extra 20th, the Rebbe, whatever you want to say, the relationship to an egg itself is mistaken unless you hold of Rabbi Shimon. Because according to the Chachomim, meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, as we'll see in a minute, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, of course, it's a completely different shear. Because the Chachomim say, that means Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that the shear of Psul Gvia, which is the Chatzi Pras, which would be double the Tumat Ochlin, is Kebeitza Umechza Sochakot, which would reduce us to three quarters of a Beitza when it comes to Kabbalah's or giving over to Masach. We made that Keshban ourselves on our little pieces of paper a minute ago. And therefore, you should just know that it's also misleading to take for granted that the given shear of Tu Masach and of the Kebetza is necessarily true. Forget about them. Even if we take a theoretical relationship, 24 Beitza per Kab, which as we'll see, I mean, we already saw now, doesn't necessarily work out in actual precise measurements nowadays, and I say nowadays in the time of Rebbe, didn't work out anymore. But even that would be completely wrong. Even it did work out, because according to Rebbe Yochanan ben Broka, you started off with a quarter kav instead of a third of a kav, which made a difference of three beitzim. We're talking about six beitzim versus eight beitzim for a kikar, for the first year. So it goes down proportionately. Who do I mean when I say man chachamim? That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Well, for Rav Chisda to say that is really repetitious. Because remember that Rav Chisda was the source of our understanding of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in the Mishnah, correct? We originally read the Mishnah very naively. We thought Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was talking about the direct relationship of the pundian to the purchase of the wheat. So it turned out that basically we worked out that you would get 48 the chatzi kavs and 48 pundionos, and it worked out very simply that you ended up with four per kav, four sudas per kav. But it was Rav Chisda who said, excuse me, gentlemen, you're forgetting the fuel surcharge and you're forgetting the profit margin. Put those two together and you end up with eight. That's what we said yesterday. Yeah? So why does Rav Chisda have, he's the one who says that the Chacham, if you'll ever find a Chachamim that say the three quarters of a Beitza, obviously that is Rabbi Yochanan. He's the one who made it, Rabbi Yochanan. If it hadn't been for him, then we would never have thought in our wildest dream that that was Rabbi Yochanan Shita, because we thought Rabbi Yochanan actually was double that. So it was Rav Chisda himself who created the Man Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So what's Rav Chisda have to say it for now? Says the Gemara Pshita. That's what he said yesterday when he explained the Mishnah. Ah, but he didn't say the Dinef Sochakot. He wasn't talking about laughing eggs. He was just talking about simple eggs. And the question is, what kind of smiley face do you have on that egg? So today he's being Mechadosh, the shear of the relationship of the Beitza. That wasn't so clear. That he added here wasn't clear at all. We had no idea what he held about the type of Beitza that were being Mishayah. Yasser of Dimi Oman. Now here's an interesting mice that happened. Now you're really going to need your pieces of paper. When Rav Dimi showed up, now he said, you know, there was a mice back in Eretz Yisrael in which a certain gentleman by the name of Bunyas sent a sample of a saw to Rebbe, and it was a standard packaging that was called the Mudia de Kundis, which was standard in the city of Nasa. And that is what he wanted to know. How does that, what saw is that? What's the size? But it was a standard saw. He sent it to Rebbe. Rebbe checked the number of beitzim in that particular saw, which was accepted as a standard saw. And he found that there were 217 eggs in that saw. Now that, on the surface, that seems a bit outrageous, completely out of range, because the standard saw would be 6 kav. The kav, we said, was 24 beitzim, which gives us 144, 6 times 24. Not kedai to fall asleep at the numbers, because then one of them missing. Isn't it? So 144, you know, you can't jump from 144 to 163.4 without having some brain work in between. So we start with 144. Okay, so how in the world do we go from 144 all the way up to 217?
Pigeon eggs.
Huh?
Pigeon eggs.
No.
Very happy.
It was standard eggs that he was looking for. So how did that happen? Asks the Gemara, Asa Adahecha. What type of standard saw was that? It doesn't fit any of the billings. Because if it was the saw, which we use as the base saw for measurements, which is the saw midbarit, we start talking about the way the Torah gave its measurements and so on, as we'll see later on by the man, so then it's 144 beitzim. Kuf men dalet havi. Idi Yerushalmit. Now what happened is, we'll see that later on, they added a shtut milabar to the size of the midot, and then they said, which shtut milabar is one-fifth, basically, the way we would figure it. Okay, so figure that out. Take one-fifth of the 144. What do you get?
29.
You take one-fifth, and what do you get? Add it now to your, add one-fifth of 144 to the 144, and then you get the shtus milabar. Comes out to 217 plus. Okay? Up there. 172. So, I mean, sorry, I went out to that. It comes out to 172.8, which we're going to be, we'll say 173. Let's forget the other little piece, which is the fifth of the beitzim. Okay, so just to round it off. Okay, so then we get to 173. It isn't really 173, as I said, but we're going to round it off. It's 172.8. Okay.
Amen.
So now, if it's a Yerushalmi...
Do I have that right?
You're doing it.
Okay, it's
144. That's the Sa'ah Yerushalmi. So the Sa'ah Yerushalmi would be now 172.8 of our... or of the eggs at that time. Now then, later on, they once again inflated the measurements by the same amount, meaning by a sixth, meaning a sixth milabar. Whenever we say a shtut, what we really mean is a fifth of the current, which is one-sixth of the new total. It's the same as you got to do when you figure out what the mom is. You can't take the 17% of the price. You have to take the
final price.
The final price represents the addition of the 17% to the same thing over here. The final price, we're taking the 120, one-fifth, the 20%, and now they'll say, okay, but we really only gave you the 18, so on, so forth. In other words, one-sixth. Because when you add it to the outside, you understand what I'm saying, Brian? You look very confused. Okay, if you take one-fifth, you split something into five parts, and you add a fifth part, how much is that fifth part of the total number of parts at the end? You now have six of those fifth parts, okay? So every fifth is a sixth milabar. So when we talk about a sixth, we really mean a fifth in our terms. We always think about of what it is that you're taking it off of. So just remember, shishit means a chamishit addition. So they did the same thing with the tziporit. So in other words, now... take your 143 beitzim that now fit into the Sa'ah Yerushalmi, multiply it by, what did I say?
144.
143, you said, but you mean...
Let's start again. 144 was our opening number. Our next number was 172.8 that we rounded out to 173. Let's take a fifth of that and add it to the 173 final number of beitzim in the Sa'ah Tziporit. And what do we get? Please give me the numbers because I don't have the paper here.
207.5.
Okay, we're not going to round off a 0.5 because then we say Chatzi Beitza. Okay, so 207 v'chetzi. Now, 207.5 doesn't come yet close to the 217 that Rebbe found. In other words, this sa'ah that he was measuring does not seem to fit any of the sa'ot that we're familiar with. And how did they call that a standardized sa'ah? Barney, are you still having problems with division?
Then Rebbe says that Hanukkah gave a malchus that lasted Gematria or 207 years. Rebbe brought it once.
Oh, I once brought the relationship of that to the food?
To the Or of Hanukkah for 7 years, but now...
Well, you're relating it to food.
I'm relating it to food.
No, that makes sense.
But okay. Didn't Rebbe Abba Ben say something about Beit Zimba'ot?
We're getting there. We've got to figure out where he came out. First of all, so where did he come out with 270? Okay, says the Gemara, Eidit Zipporit, it's only 207. Razili. So then it's 207. Again, okay, let's forget about the half for a moment until we get into the more serious problems over here. So let's round that down, 207, okay. How did he get the measurement that he came out with? Ah, well, what he did was, you see, when they sent him this measurement, this was a Chuk Chatam Sofer measurement. So what they did was they included the little separate bit for taking off challah. So when you buy your saw, it already has the part that you take off for challah in it, so that you could be guaranteed that here you get one saw of food after removing challah. So they added the challah into the saw. So I take halata shani alayim. No, even so, I mean, this still doesn't add up, my friends. Because the chalata kamahavin, how much exactly chala would there be in this? So the chala is a 24th. That's the shear. If you're making something in your own home, it's a 24th. Okay. So how exactly do you get another 10? I don't get another 10. I only get 8. Actually, it's more than 8. But again, since it's not a full beta, we're going to round it off. Okay, 1/24th. Of this this amount to 107, so we'll ignore anything above 8 because it's less than 9. So, right? Divide 20. That's close, but it's less.
It's 207. If you do 207, it's very, very close to 9.
True, but since we don't usually do math that way in the Gemara, because what we don't actually do math. What we do is we take large units and we try to split them. We keep taking each. We take the hundreds, we take the tens, and we take the units. To start taking the 24th of the units, we throw it out anyway. Yeah, so maybe we don't worry about it. When we talk about the hundreds, that's already interesting. Again, if you're used to doing arithmetic that way, so then, you're not going to be medayakat kedaka. If you do arithmetic by the actual numbers, so then it seems strange that we're ignoring all of these parts. But we're trying to get basically an approximation. Well, we know it's less than 9, okay. It certainly doesn't come to 10. So if that's the case, even if we would throw the challah onto it, so Tmanya, how do we get? Kalata kamahavi, Tmanya. Akati botzerle, you're still left, you're too short from 217. I mean, where do you get 217 from? Okay, sorry. You know what? Forget about that challah business. What you need to do is you need to take the odot of Rebbe. That's what was missing is... As David pointed out earlier, so if you're worried about those additional little, he found that there were additional eggs, and we said he basically, he found that there were 1/20th in the eggs, so you have to add over here now that amount, and you'll get to the another 10, it's 217. So therefore, again, ignoring the va'odot on the 7th, but on the 200. Okay, so if that's the case, he had another 10 eggs. 5 eggs, a 20th for each one, 5 eggs for each 100. 10 eggs, 217 eggs. So he measured it to be 217. That's what the Maisa was. So I take the odot, add those, quote, extra pieces, unquote, of Rebbe, that he had earlier, we spoke about, that he found that to be anyway a variation, a contemporary variation, in the latest edition to the Yerushalmiot, of the Tziporiot, and because of that, the Lamaisa measured, Lamaisa meaning an actual eggs that were available at his time, he actually measured 217, which was the equivalent of the 207 Tzipori, original Tzipori measurement, which again was very significantly more than the original Midbarit, of 144. So as you can see, things are getting really bad. I mean, you need a lot of extra Beitzim there to make up for what's lost. Says the Gemara, what about the egg for the seven? You forgot about the seven. Yeah, okay, you forgot about the seven, but I mean, even Lavi Kabeit, so Akashivai, since it's less than one whole unit, 1/20th of the 200 is units. 1/20th of seven is not a unit. So, okay, we forgot about Akashivai.
It's very interesting. The Rebbe, on the one hand,
is
being so
bedai,
like on
the fraction. No, that's not. That's not dear. That's not called dear. There's these. The point always is that whatever halakha takes into consideration, the rest doesn't exist. In other words, what it does is it takes a very spread out measuring system. The spread out measuring system between 2 and 3 is 2. Between 3 and 4 is 3. The same thing we do for pi. Between 3 and 3.5 is 3.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm saying that Rebbe was in the.
But that's what Diyuk means. I'm saying that's not that. That's the point that I'm making, is that it's not a violation of Diyuk when those are your units. It would be like saying, gee, here the guy is measuring his tefillin so carefully, and he doesn't even consider microns. What are microns? They're not part of the measurements that I'm using. So each thing has a set of measurements that apply to the things that are within that set.
So that one egg, so then it was the end detail. Exactly.
In terms of Beit Zim, I'm focused. The rest, I don't even notice. They don't exist, because the shear is given in terms of Beit Zim.
Especially, you know, in terms of meterites, or you go to with the mashu, so it's a long time.
Sure, in terms of, that's in terms of how I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, truma things like that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And in my survey, we don't do that. We're very careful.
Well, yeah, but also, Shaila's out careful. Obviously, we do. Obviously, it's impossible. If you have Shabbat Samtzeh, we'll never have kosher meiser. Exactly.
Oh, no. That's all we need.
Okay. So I said, the Rebbe Shadi Aloi, you'll say, Yochi Avile Tzvei, but it's not a kibetzah. If it's not a kibetzah, it's not, it doesn't have any value. Lo chashiv le. Tan Rabbona. Sa'ah, you note that the meaning of the word addition of cheshbon is based on chashiv. So in other words, what I consider to be meaningful is what I make a cheshbon of. What I don't, I don't. Tan Rabbona. Sa'ah Yerushalmit. What we call the Sa'ah Yerushalmit is already inflated versus the Midbari. So it's Yitera al-Midbari Shtut. It's 1/6 larger. We already took this into consideration when we did our calculations. So it's 1/6 larger than the Midbarit. And the Sheltziporit was even 1/6 larger than the Yerushalmit. And now comes the absurd statement that Nimtzeh Sheltziporit Yitera Midbarit Shlish. As if we can go ahead and add, this is very naive, we'll add 1/6 and 1/6, we'll get 1/3. I mean, that's silly. I mean, obviously, the 6th that you took of the second one is not the equivalent of the 6th that you took on the first one, so it can't be 2/6 to equal 1/3. So something's wrong over here. Says the Gemara, what? Shlish? Shlish of what? What do you mean, a shlish? A shlish of which value? Ilem a shlish to midbarit. You certainly can't mean it's 1/3 of the midbarit. I mean, just, obviously, it logically can't be, but I mean, just work out the numbers. You'll see, it's silly. What would be 1/3 of the 144? Would be arba'im v'tmanya, okay? As the odefet is actually 63. If you take a look at the final number that we came out with, which was the 207, the 207 is 63 larger. So you can't be saying that it's the equivalent of 1/3. 63 in no way is anywhere close to 48. Do you mean that the final value is 1/3 of the Yerushalmit above the Midbarit? Is that what you mean? Let's see if it works out. How much, I mean, again, obviously it can't work out. Logically it can't work out, because 1/3 is 2/6. You can't have arrived at 1/3 of the upper value by adding 2/6. Only one of the 6 was of the upper value. So logically, you know that this is meshugah. But if you want to go through the steps, fine, to go through the steps. So you want to tell me that it's a shlish of the Yerushalmi? Add it up. No. How much is a shlish of the Yerushalmi? 52. 52 minus that 1/3 of the beitza. Fine. And the odefet was 63. You're still way off. Gosh.
58? Of the 173,
if I right. The 52 being one-third of the second measurement that we had was 172.8, 173.
Here's 52.
Okay. So
and what's the 63?
Commission of the ton?
We started off, Shlishtida was 52, the one-third of the middle, of the upper
the
measurement,
Yerushalmi,
of the Yerushalmi.
So what's 63?
One-third of the larger measurement.
Where
let's start again. We started, it said over here, Nim Zechot Zippor, Yitera Midborit Shlish. Now, a Shlish Midborit is how much? 48. Whereas the actual value of the final amount, one-third, the Odef, not the one-third, the actual Odef that is added is 63. 63 is not one-third of 144. So it can't be a one-third of the Midbaris. If you're telling me that the Shlish is measured by the Shlish of the Yerushalmi, Shlish of the Yerushalmi is actually 57 two-thirds, right? Uh-huh. 57 and two-thirds is also not 63. So what is it referring to? As we saw before, it was 63, was the difference between the value of the Midbarit and the final value. Ela, it must mean like this. The Tzipori Shlish Dida Kamehava Shivim Nechichada. The third of a Tzipori.
Sell them because they don't need it. The government requires certain standards, so they try to do the minimum size of an egg that meet 12 of them meets the government standard.
Right.
So they just give them for free the big ones.
Okay.
And otherwise, they put it in the thing and everybody would demand those eggs. They almost all of them have double. I'm sure it's more than twice the volume of our egg. I mean, look. They look twice as big and the volume is probably even more.
Don't let the Chazon Ish find out about that because they'll take double that.
Did I have a standard measurement of X centimeter? Somebody meets this time that volume, how do they measure
them? With the etzvot. The problem, look, that's why there's whole books written on the problem of, because we have different standards, but the Gemara interrelates them. Volume standards with weight standards and so on. It's not so simple of using a cc and relating the weight of water at a certain temperature to the, you know, unfortunately it gets very complicated. So, it's like the English monetary system. It used to be. So over here we have the calculation done in terms of grains, which relates to the calculation done in terms of volume of water, of beitzim, which relates to the size that are given in terms of etzba'ot, because the Gemara gives us the Rosetta Stone that interprets one in terms of the other, and they don't match. And this is what has given rise to all of the modern problems of this year. Okay, but anyway, getting back to this. Getting back to our famous moker of this whole thing, is that the pasuk says reshit arisotechem when it talks about challah. How much is supposed to give reshit arisotechem challah tarim u'truma la'Hashem? So what is that? That's ketrumat gorin. Kein tarimu, it says. So what is kidei arisotechem? Kama arisotechem? What defines a standard? We're supposed to know what arisotechem. What's isotechem? What is an arisa? It's an isa. What is the isa? Kama isotechem. That's given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rations. Because he gave everybody in the Midbar a specific amount of man, which is meant to be a ration. Speaking now of Erevin, which is meant to be figured in terms of the two seudas, why that happens to work out precisely to the way it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our rations, right? So therefore, we'll take a look at Kama Yisotechem, Kedei Sat HaMidbar. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Midbar, that is the meaning of an Isa. Okay, how much was that? Kama Yisat HaMidbar, it says in the Torah what that is. It says, V'ha'omer Asirit Ha'efa. Now, the Efa is three sa. Once we know that, we know how many kav there are, because we have 18 kav now in the siksa, which now equals 72 lug, because there's 4 lug in a, so that means that a sirit is 7.2 lug. Right?
An eifa is 3 saw, a saw is...
An eifa is 3 saw, a saw we already saw.
6 kav.
Yeah.
So it's 18 kav for eifa times 4 for lug, 72.
One-tenth of which, a sirita eifa, one-tenth of which in terms of lugin is 7.2. So you now have 7.2. Okay. So omer sirita eifa, mekan amru, shiva reva'im, which are, reva'im are lugs, quarters, quarter calves, in other words, 7 quarter calves plus the od, which is the 0.2, are chayevet bechala. Now, if we take those and we translate them into modern terms, so then we'll have to turn them into Yerushalmiot kabir. Okay? In terms of the Yerushalmi, they would be 6 kavim shel Yerushalmiot, because we added the 6th, which is a 5th really, which in terms of the Tzipori measurement are 5, as 5 becomes 6, right? 6 becomes 7.2, and here we have Mikan Omru, and therefore we now say that Ha'ochel Kamidazo, so somebody who knows how much to eat, so he figures God must have given us proper rations, so he figures his food, his allowance of food, based on how much mommy would have had, right? So if he eats kamidazu, harezem barium uvurach, then this guy is going to be blessed and healthy, because that's what, if God figures this is what you should eat, then you can figure that's okay. Yetrakein, but if he eats more than that, ra'avtan, he's a hungry no good, right? he's overeating. Pachot mikan, if he eats less than that, he's got stomach problems. So he should just try to balance himself with the standards of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Anshei Chotzer v'anshei Mirpeset, Shachachu v'lo Irvu. Now we know already that the din of a Mirpeset is like a second Chotzer within the Chotzer. The Mirpeset, remember, is all the people that are whose homes now in the second story open up onto this long porch. They have to climb upstairs in order to get to that porch. We know that the din of stairs is that it has a din of a petach. We know that the din of a petach is that it's up to you. If you want to be ma'ariv one, you could be ma'ariv one. Petach ben shtei chatzirot. Want to be ma'ariv two, you could be ma'ariv two. This is the rots. That's one of the option cases. In that case, if they weren't ma'ariv together, so now they have separate eruvim. That's fine. Because they have a petach b'nehem. But the question is, what happens to various rishuyot in the chatzer that are higher than is necessarily comfortable? We saw before that an area between two chatzeros is defined by either both rishuyos being sholeit and therefore asri one on the other, or if it's noach lezeh but it's not kosher lezeh, then we give it to the area that it's noach. Over here, clearly, the higher something is in the chatzer, the more attached it will be to the merpeset, assuming it's within range of the merpeset. Therefore, says the Mishnah, if you have something which is gavoa asarat tvachim, if it's gavoa asarat tvachim, we already saw earlier, let's say you have a pillar of some kind in the middle of the chatzer. It's now, it's 10 tvachim high. So then, if that's the case, it becomes the reshut of the merpeset. Because once it's gavoa asarat tvachim, then it's outside of the range of the bottom reshus, comes into the range of the upper reshus, and it's considered to be the rights of use. Go to the merpeset. Or even if you'd have, let's say, a chuliat habor, vasela, gvoim asarat tvachim, goes to the merpeset. Even if you built up the edge of the bor. So now, for the people in the chatzer, even though the water in the bor is on the ground level, in order for them to get to the water, they have to go over the side of the chulya to and take out the water over the Huya. So that means that that area is to then inconvenient usage. If it's convenient to the Merpeset, and we'll see what that means, then it goes to the Merpeset. Pachot mikan lechatzer. Less than that, it's easier for the chatzer to use. Ba'med v'arim amurim b'smucha. This is only obviously if it's close enough to the Merpeset for them to reach it. If they're not going to be able to reach it, then it's kosher for them also. And then we'll see what the din would be. So it's only b'smucha. But if it's mufaleged, then even if it's asara tvachim, it's nowhere near the merpeset's reshus, even though it's inconvenient for the chatzer, it becomes the chatzer reshus. What defines smucha? A zohi smucha, koshen rechokar ba'tvachim. It's not four tvachim away from the edge of the merpeset for people to use. Now let us review. The Gemara is now going to do a wonderful thing for us. It's going to review the various qualities of divisions between Rishuyas, between Chatzeros, so we can remember where we're holding. So let's start from the beginning. Pshita. Let's say we start off with the case of Lezebe Petach v'Lezebe Petach. We have two Chatzerot, always without an Erev, obviously, otherwise there's no problem any of these. And now you have an area which is just as easy for one to use as for the other. So in other words, you enter into this with a petach. We're using petach over here, not in the normal sense of a petach ben rishuyot, but access to the third rishuyot, which is not included in either of their rishuyot. So it's lezeh petach v'lezeh petach. That is the equivalent, hainu, chalon shebein shtei chatzerot. That is exactly, there's nothing to ask about that, because that's the exact case of a chalon between two chatzerot. We said in our opening Mishnah chalon, if they want to, if it's arba al arba, if they want to, they could be mishtatvim altogether. If they don't want to, they can keep it separate. But if they keep it separate, then neither of them are allowed to use it once it becomes rishus of arba'ah, because then it's now mitzuraf between both of them, and that's osur. How do we know it's osur? We know it's osur from the case of the kotel. The kota that is 4x4, nobody's allowed to use the top. Because you can't take it, depending on whose shita you hold up, either you can't even move it from its place, you can't take it down from your rishus into the chatzar, maybe you can't take it down from your rishus into the bias. Again, depending on the qua problem of Rabbi Shimon, of all rishus being the same, the gezerah of Rav, or whether if you have an Erev in the chatzar, we're chayshus that you're going to have now something from the bias in the chatzar, depending on which shita you hold. Fine, we have three shitas over there, whatever they are, that's the same din as a petach, lezebe petach, lezebe petach. If you have a case where it's lezebe zrika, velezebe zrika, zrika means, not literally to throw, but it means that it's an inconvenient usage, because as our dear president has pointed out, all of our usages are only by dwarves. So how's a dwarf going to get to something that's 10 tvachim high? He's going to have to throw it, so to speak. So we call that bizrika. In other words, if to both rishuyot, it's equally inconvenient. So it's kosher tashmisha to both. So that was the case that we had earlier of either the kotel shebeng shtei chatzerot that was l'mala me'asara, or the charit shebeng shtei chatzerot that was l'mata me'asara. That was exactly the case that we had about you're able to climb up there, but you're not allowed to take it down. Fine. We know what the din is over there. Furthermore, if it's different usages, and let's say it's lezeh b'petach, petach would be a convenient usage. It's not totally exposed, it's on a wall, it's on a ledge, or it's down in a ditch, but for one reshutz it's a petach, and for the other reshutz it's bezrika. Well, okay, that was the case that we had before of Ainu de Rabba Baravuna Amr and Nachman. That was a case of Rabba Baravuna, according to Rabbi Nachman, is saying that the Mishnah of the Kotel was talking about only where both sides were even to the Kotel. But if the ground level on one side was raised, so to one side it was Tisha Tvachim, let's say, and the other side it's Ten Tvachim, so then he said, Lezeh b'noach, v'lezeh lo b'noach, you give it to the Noach. So that would be exactly this case. He called it Shavel Aretz. So Shavel Aretz meant anything less than 10. So we call that B'petach. The other one is L'mala Mi'asar, L'mata. It's called Bezrika. So if you have now a case of, how about Lezeh B'petach, Lezeh B'shilshul? How about if you have to lower it? That was, we had Rabba Barvuna, who said before that if you have a case where you're going to have to, what did I say? I'm sorry. Hainu the Rav Shizbi Om Rav Nachman. That was the case of Rav Shizbi Om Rav Nachman, which is that even going down, you know, the Gemara said you might have had a half a minute, they're going down, is that considered to be Benoach? And he said, no, that's also considered to be basically Lezeb Benoach, not for the other one. How about Lezeb Shilshul and Lezeb Zrika? My, we never discussed the case where you have two inconvenient Rishuyas, but they're inconvenient in different ways. One is inconvenient for going up, as Rika. One is inconvenient, Bishoshal. What would be the din? Now you can see how this relates to our Mishnah. Because when it comes to Anshei Repesah, they're going to be obviously using Shoshal. When it comes to the Anshei Chotzer, they're going to be using Zrika. So we are now approaching the sugya of our Mishnah. That's why the Gemara built up to this slowly, to put you back at the focus, what defines the various uses of a rishut. So what would be the din there? Omer Rav, Shnei Amasuri. Rav says, look, same thing as a kotel where it's equally high to both rishuyot, 10 on either side. We said before, you can't move anything there. Shmuel says, no, what do you mean? In that case, you give it to the one, notnimo to lezeh shebishushu, shelezeh tashbisho benacha, ulezeh tashbisho bekasheh. V'chol davar shetashbisho lezeh benacha, v'lezeh bekasheh, notnimo to lezeh shetashbisho benacha. You would always give it to the one that's tashbisho benacha. Wait, this is what we're going to discuss from our Mishnah. Tanan. How do you explain, indeed, our mission? Our mission says you have Anshei Chotzer and Anshei Mikveh. They don't have an Erev between them. So now we have to determine what each thing is going to be in terms of the Rishut of the particular so-called Chotzer, meaning Mikveh Chotzer A, and the Chotzer down at the bottom, Chotzer B. So we said, Kosh Gavoa Asrat V'Chim Mikveh, Pochot Mikan L'Chotzer. Now, I mean, I assume that the way to understand the Mishnah is Kasalka Daitach, that the meaning of Merpeset means B'nai Aliyah. Is that normally what a Merpeset means? You've got people that are on the second story, they're all opening up onto this Merpeset, and it's high, it's more than 10, for sure, it's very high, right? So you go up the stairs, so a Tel Shebechatzer, which is Gavoa Asara, is also Lamata Mi'asara from the Merpeset, or not, it's more than 10 tvachim above the 10 tvachim high amud, I would assume. Certainly a normal merpes is a full story. A full story is more than 20 tvachim. In which case, so that you'll ask me, so my corollary, why then do we use the word merpeset? We call it merpeset because they're basically darim, the kasalkim and merpeset. They're b'nei aliyah, but we call them a merpeset because that's the way they come in and out. So we call it a merpeset. I assume that that's what it means. Which would mean that for the people in the merpeset, they are going to have to use it b'shil shul l'mata me'asora. If you have something that's l'mata me'asora, it's still going to be l'mata me'asora from the ground level of the merpeset. Okay, that seems to be saying that kol l'zeh b'shil shul v'l'zeh b'zrika. Isn't it exactly what Shmuel was saying? Assuming that our understanding of the Mishnah is correct, then the Mishnah is saying b'feirush, that if you got a choice of inconveniences, it's less inconvenient to use it b'shulshul than it is to use it b'zrika. Boy, what's these guys are dwarves, huh? Can you imagine? All right, so we will see tomorrow that we have been laboring under some misconceptions here in this Mishnah. So let's do our brief. Chetzi lebayit hamenugah, chetzi lepsolat agviyah, tana v'chetzi, chetzi letami tubas ha'ochlim. So how come tana didan lo tani tubat ochlim? Because lo shavu shiurayim la'adavi. The tani kama shiur chatzi prash shtei beitzim chosar kima. Did Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda zemer shtei beitzim tzoch hakot. Shiur revi shtei beitzim va'od. Kama va'od echa mi'esri be'beitza. Anyway, Gabi Tumas Orach Lib Tanya, Rabbi Nasser, Rabbi Dessar, Rabbi Beitza, Sha'amru, Kamorach Klipata, and Chachamim Omrim, Kamorach Malot Klipata. Furthermore, Amar Rav from Bar Papa and Chista, Zudiv, Rabbi Yuda of Rabbi Yossi, Abel Chachamim Omrim, Kabeitza, Umechta, Sochakod, for Sogvia, obviously, not for Tumas Orach Lib. For Tumas Orach Lib, half of that, which would be three quarters of a Beitza. Man Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan and Broka, Shita. No, it's not Shita. Because so hakota talashmina, which had not been said yesterday at all. The other of Dimyama, Shiger Bunias for Rabbi, Mudaya de Kundis from Nausa, and Shia Rabbi Matayim Vishva Esre Bitsi. Now, where the heck is that Sa'av from? If it's a Sa'av Midbarit, it only had 144. If it's a Sa'av Yerushalmit, it only had 173. If it's a Sa'av Tziporit, it only had 207. Where do we get 217? The Yolanda Tzipori, except they added the Chala, 1/24th. So, Chalata Kamahavim, what's 1/24th? 8 plus something, right? Akati Batser, like, how do you get the 217? You're missing 2. Ah, forget about Chala. I take the Oda already, Shodi Alayu, and now you've got an additional 10 for the 20. So you have to have your late fee. Ah, but it's not a kibetza. Given the law of a kibetza, lo chashivlem. Turn around on this. Sa'ah Yerushalmit is yiterah midbarit shtut. The shot ziporit is yiterah Yerushalmit shtut. Which means that the ziporit is yiterah midbarit shlish. Shlish? Shlish of what? Ilem a shlish to midbarit. With a shlish to midbarit kamahave, our boy in Vitman is 1/3 of 144. Vilu Otfa, the total difference turns out to be Shita Vitlat. So what? You're going to tell me 1/3 meaning Shlish of Yerushalmit? No. Because Shlish Tida is 58. And almost. And Vilu Otfa is 63. Doesn't work out either. Ella, the Tzipari. What are you going to tell me? Shlish of the Tzipari. Shlish Tida Kamavi? 69. Vilu Otfa, Shishim Vishalosh? No good. Elom Rabbi Yirmi Alfa Kamer, Nimtzei Tza'ah Shal Tzipor Yitera Midbarit Karov L'Shlishala U'Shlishala Karov L'Mechza De Midbarit Maskel Ravina, what? Karov Katani Elom Rabbi Yirmi Alfa Kamer, Nimtzei Shlish Shal Tzipor including the Odio Shal Rebbe is Yitera Al-Mechza Shal Midbarit Shlish Beitza'ah Tana Rabban Reshita Risotechem meaning Kidei Isotechem Kama Isotechem is Kidei Isata Midbar Kama Isata Midbar it says Omra Siriteifa Mikan Amru in terms of Midbariot 7 Revoim Revoim is a lug 7 plus another 0.2 lugs is Chayavet Bechala in modern terms you have Vav Shal Yerushalmit which is now the inflation, which are chemisha shal tzipori, mikanomro, chokamidazu, areze bori, umuvurach, yeter akein ra'avtan, pochot mikan mikul kalbemea, anshe chotiban shmepesik shokhu velo irvu, koshi gavoa sarat vachim lebepesik, pochot mikan lechatser, chuyat abor viasela gavoa masarat vachim, godin lebepesik, pochot mikan lechatser, ba medvar mumur besmucha, אבל במופלגת אפילו גבוה 10 טווחים לחצר ואיזו היא סמוכה כלשהן רחוק 4 טווחים now, פשיטה לזה בפתח לזה בפתח that's the equivalent of חלון שבין שתי חצרות לזה בזריקה ולזה בזריקה that's the equivalent of a koto which is למעלה מהעשורה שבין שתי חצרות לזה בשלשו ולזה בשלשו that's the equivalent of the חריץ למטה מהעשורה שבין שתי חצרות לזה בפתח לזה בזריקה that's the equivalent of רב ברבון אמר נחמן in case you give it to the one that is bepeta. Lezeh bepetach, lezeh besilsho, that's the equivalent of Rushizbi, Amrim Nachman. Lezeh besilsho, lezeh besrika, we never discussed. Ma. Omar Rav, well, shem asurim, she was on the contrary. Not imat lezeh, she besilsho. Why? She lezeh tashbisho benachat, lezeh tashbisho bekasha, v'chol davar she tashbisho lezeh benachat, lezeh bekasha, not imat lezeh she tashbisho benachat, which is basically our Mishnah, it's not. Anche chotzev, anche berpes, shoch v'lo yirvu, So, koshi gavah asrat vachim le mirpeset, pachot mikan le chatzin. Now, kasaka daitach mirpeset, we thought this mirpeset basically is a gezustra. That's what we thought. So, gezustra is a second story. So, it's b'nei aliyah. Okay, my call mirpeset, because basically they live in with a porch. So, which means that it's certainly, it's two stories high. So, Alma kol zeh b'shoshol zeh b'zrika, not nima do zeh shel b'shoshol. Problem.
Is this easier?
You see, it's easier. It's exactly what you want to say.